We are already at the last Sunday in July. This year, I don't know about you, but it's been moving at a pace. And we are now not only at the last Sunday in July, but we're also at the last Sunday of this sermon series, which is called Cast Your Net on the Right Side. And St. John, you may have noticed that this series has been geared toward us. And I say this because, you know, for those of us who are present here or online, you know, you're kind of listening in on an in-house type of message. But if you listen closely enough, you'll get something out of it as well. Cast your net on the right side. And that is actually Jesus' words coming from the book of John, the 21st chapter. You can start turning there. If you don't know where the book of John is and you have a physical Bible, you're going to turn to your table of contents. You turn to your table of contents. There's going to be an Old Testament section, and then there's going to be a New Testament section. Once you get to the New Testament section, you're going to look at the books. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get to John, turn to that page number that is associated with the book of John. Then you will want to turn to chapter 21. Chapter 21. Chapter 21, you're going to look for the big 2-1. If you are, or maybe you have it says chapter 21 in your Bible, you will do that. And once you're there, you're already where you need to be. If you have an electronic Bible, that's even easier. You can literally just search for John. And then once you find John, you find 21. In the meantime, just to recap the first couple of sermons. Sermon number one is this Jesus talking? And we started to ask the question, how do we know if it's Jesus talking? How do we know? And after looking at the disciples on the boat, the answer came when the results sound like him. When the results sound like him. And so we ended by saying, sometimes Jesus makes himself known after the miracle. Don't worry. You'll know when it's time. And then last week, we talked about strange instructions. And the question was, why does Jesus give us strange instructions? Again, we came from the book of John, chapter 21, and we found out that the answer was to reveal himself. And we discussed that God uses strange instructions to get the glory. And with Jesus, strange is the new normal. And so now we are on this latest installment, this last installment, and we again are coming from the book of John, chapter 21. And in the meantime, I'm getting set up. I didn't get set up in time. The tech team had my stuff ready, but I didn't. I guess I wasn't ready for the tech team, so oh well. But I'm going to go ahead and read out of the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. That is the entire story. And once you read, we're going to read the whole story just so we know what to refer to. Amen. Amen. And tech team, y'all got me. Amen. Thank God for our tech team. So with that said, I'm going to start reading again from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. You will find similar words printed in your book, but I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible version. It reads as follows. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3, I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, when daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you just caught, Jesus told them. Verse 11. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. Last verse, 14. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I would like to come from the following subject: more fish. More fish. You may be seated. Last Sunday, several Sundays ago, I mentioned something that I've been, you know, kind of hinting at you, St. John, over and over, which is the difference between trusting God versus trusting God's plan. And I you know, had stated that, you know, a lot of us, a lot of Christians, like to trust God's plan. We don't really trust God, but when he breaks it down to us, when he tells us what's going to happen, then we trust God. But then you're not really trusting God. You're really just trusting God's plan. And sometimes God doesn't give you the plan. He just wants you to listen to him and to trust him. And that was the point, was to say that, you know, you can, God don't always have to run things by you. You know, he don't always have to explain to you what he's going to do or how things work. If you just trust him, you'll be all right. But if you just trust in his plan, you might not be all right if you don't have the plan. So we had talked about that, but one thing that I have not yet mentioned was that be careful of presenting it as a false dichotomy. What do I mean is, I don't want you to see it as you can either trust God or trust his plan. Because the truth is, you can do both. You can do both. You can trust God and trust his plan. And the reason why you trust his plan is because you trust God initially. And so I say this because St. John, as you know, you're physically here, those of you online, you may have seen, there's a lot of open seats. We know that. And, you know, we're trusting God for growth. But there's also a plan that God has already given us. And that's partially what I want to show today. How will St. John grow? How will St. John grow? Now, there's a lot of different scriptures in the Bible, different examples of how God moved in different situations. So I don't want you to see this as, you know, this is the only way God can move, because problems happen when you start to restrict him. But it does give a pretty interesting look, because the way God reveals himself in this scripture is actually the blueprint for biblical growth. So how will St. John grow? And there's actually 3 points that I want to mention, 3 points that come from this scripture. I've already discussed this at some degree last week. But one, how will St. John grow? It's by a miracle from the Lord. How will we grow? By a miracle from the Lord. Now, if you look at the text, verse 6, it says, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat," he told them. Jesus is telling the disciples, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." And so they did. And all of a sudden, there were so much fish that they were unable to haul it in. And because of the number of fish, and because of the sudden appearance of these fish, they knew it was Jesus. The sudden presence of many fish was itself the miracle. Now, some of you are saying, "Thank you, Pastor Brooks. That was new information. Thank you for explaining it all over again." Yes, it's obvious that it was Jesus. And because of this, we know that God can miraculously bring people to St. John. We know that. We know that God can work miracles. The same Jesus that we serve, the same Jesus that we're reading and preaching about today, the same Jesus can miraculously bring people here to St. John. And how do I know that? Because he already has. He already has. I would love to tell you that it's because of my great preaching presence and our fantastic online ministry and because of our illustrious choir that people want to join. But that we even though we have not had all of these things, people still have joined. These were people that we have not reached out to, did not send flyers, did not invite them to our events. There are people that have joined St. John, and I'm telling you, recently, we're not even going to get back into the years of old, but recently, who have joined St. John, who have walked in all by themselves and joined St. John on their own will. It is because of the Lord. He is the one working things out. He is the one drawing people. He already has. So how will St. John grow is by more miracles like that. But, and I know y'all said, "Well, you know, I kind of knew that part, Pastor. I'm glad you did." But there's something else in this scripture to look at. How else will St. John grow? What other part of this? St. John will grow by what I like to call commercial fishing. What in the world do you mean? When you read scripture, you have to understand that the scripture is for us, right? The scripture applies to us. It applies to St. John today. It applies to 21st century America. It applies now. But when the scripture was originally written, it was directed to a certain group of people who had a certain understanding of things. One of the things that was assumed in this scripture was the knowledge of disciples as commercial fishermen. Okay, stay with me. What do I mean? This is what they did for a living. Fishing was not just something they just went out. They did this to make money to feed families. This was their job. They were commercial fishermen. And knowing that they're commercial fishermen, knowing that they're not just out there just, you know, dilly-dallying, but they're actually doing this as a job, it kind of makes us look at this scripture differently. Let's go back. Verse 2. Simon Peter, all of these disciples were together, and they wanted to go fishing, right? When they say they want to go fishing, they mean go commercially fishing. Go get a whole gang of fish so that they can come back and sell it on shore. That's important. Why? When you go out, when you keep reading verse 3, it says that they went out and got into the boat. But that night, that whole night, they caught nothing. Oh, and here's a little clue here. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. So not only were they out there all night, they were out there even when the sun came up. Y'all understand, this is not for fun. Okay? Because they could have been sleeping. But this was not for fun. They were trying to make some money. I'm going somewhere with it, okay? I'm going somewhere. This is what they were trying. This is what they were about. This was their job. So when Jesus tells them to cast the net, right? Because you need a net to get a lot of fish. Y'all staying with me? That's what happened. And then when the miracle happened, they were unable to haul it in. So it required multiple people to go out and work to get fish. So the miracle was that Jesus had gotten all of these fish somehow, some way, and gotten them into this net to the point where you had the whole team of fishermen that could not bring this in. And the significance of this is that they were about to make no money, but now they had so much that they had to figure out how to do it all. This is what they did for a living. Where are you going with this? They cast nets in the water, not fishing lines. Some of us already got it. Because if we think about it, if Jesus knew that the disciples were out fishing recreationally, maybe Jesus doesn't do this miracle. If they're out there with fishing lines, y'all know fishing lines and rods, right? I went fishing once and I caught no fish. That was very frustrating. All right, and that was what, 2-3 hours I spent out there, no fish. I can't even imagine spending all night. They were out there with nets, not with fishing lines. Now think about it. If they had fishing lines in the water, how is Jesus going to have 153 fish, large fish, on a fishing line? Y'all tracking with me? If they were out there just chilling, that miracle, the significance of that miracle is, it just kind of, there's no real point to doing the miracle. Pastor, just get to the point. Church, are we fishing for business or for pleasure? Are we a commercial church or a recreational church? Are we really about our Father's what? Business? There's a reason why they use that word. Business? And no, this ain't about making money and all. No, that's not where I'm going. That's the wrong type of business. I said our Father's business. To go out and save souls. Amen. Or lead the souls to be saved. Yeah. Is that what we're doing, or are we just recreational? You know, we just have it in church for fun. Because we know each other and, you know, we like each other. We'll drop in here and there. And we'll hold a program, you know. We'll say something and people nod their heads. And then we go home. What are we, St. John? Are we about the Father's business? And are we commercial? Or are we recreational? The reason I say this is because God might not do commercial miracles for recreational systems. God, we want you to bless this church with so many people. But the way we run this church, this is nice. This is pleasant. See if somebody bites. He might not. But basically, what I'm saying is, are we serious about this? Are we actually thinking of this as a business, not to get money, but to bring souls to the Father? Right. Are we thinking about it like that? Right. Or are we just chilling because we need something to do at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning? That's nice and teaches us good morals and keeps us off the street and... Again, Reverend Burks, you don't preach for amens and hallelujahs and thank you, Jesuses, because sometimes sermons like these make people upset. All right. Ooh, my mic was on. Okay. St. John, what do we want? Do we need nets or are fishing poles enough? Because how we conduct business as God's church, not my church, not the trustees' church, but God's church, how we conduct business will tell us and will tell others if we're doing this professionally or recreationally. If this is for business or if this is for pleasure. Because if we're doing this for pleasure, we don't need to change anything. Seriously. If we're just coming to church because it's nice to hear Pastor James once in a while, and if that's what we're doing, if we're, you know, we'll give a little money and, you know, hopefully we'll throw some events outside and, you know, we'll, if that's what we're doing, we are doing fantastic. And we don't need to change not one thing. We don't need to think about expanding. We don't need to think about reaching the law. We don't need to think about all those, because if we're comfortable throwing the rod out and just hoping, then that's it. And I'm going to tell you this. It sure makes my preaching job easier, because all I got to do is just give you something to chew on. Give you a little something. You know, the Lord's going to do things for you. And he's going to work it out. And, oh, Lord. And then we go home. And I collect the check. And then we just keep this going. There's a lot of churches like this. And what I'm saying is this, I have asked God, I said, Lord, I never want to get to that point. I never want to be a recreational pastor. Lord, if I have that mindset, I've prayed that. If I have that, if I give up, if I just want to just sit here and, you know, keep y'all happy so y'all can be happy here, Lord, remove me. Remove me, because I'm not doing what you want me to do. For some of our guests here and online, you're like, what is going on? I know. How will St. John grow? By commercial fishing. By being about our Father's business. And by setting things up and structuring things so that we can catch a lot of fish. Because God will not do a humongous miracle here at St. John if we don't want him to.
Right. Say it. All right.
Move on, Pastor. I got things to do today. How will St. John do it? We got to have some strong nets. What you mean? The internet? No. Verse 10. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them, right? So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Now, we know the miracle, the great miracle was that there were all these fish, right? Last week we talked about the other miracle, which was that Jesus had bread and fish already on the shore. We went into that. But there's actually a third miracle. There's actually a third miracle that happened because John, as an experienced fisherman who was there looking at this, who has done this, he said, even though there were so many, the net was not torn. It was implicitly stated that it was a miracle that the net did not tear because of the miraculous catch of fish. Why does that matter? Because the question for us is our net strong enough to handle a miracle? To even when you could stretch it, that God could miraculously work with it. But you got to have a net that's strong enough to handle a miracle. What do I mean? What do I mean? When I started as pastor at St. John, we had our new members program, which was sort of unofficially defined. And for the St. John members, if you remember that program, it didn't matter who you were when you came in, you had to have a class with, you know, somebody, right? And then you go through a book. It took several weeks. And again, there's always issues with the Sunday school teacher and the student having to link up on Sunday morning at 9:30. And so what would happen was you'd have these new members that were going months and months and months without being able to finish the class. We made some changes. We now have that online, right? We have the videos online. You don't have to be here at Sunday service at 9:30. You can now look on it at online and finish all the classes and do what you need to do. So everything happens quicker. So what we did was we expanded our capacity to handle new members. Why? Because what was happening is that you would have one person and one student, and they were going through the book and whatnot, and then you would have another new member, and we couldn't handle them. Two new members at the same time? How are we gonna teach them all? We had that problem. Now, because we've done some things, we've structured the new members department a little more, now that problem has been greatly reduced. We can handle more members. Our net is
stronger. And St. John, I don't know if you've noticed, but ever since that happened, which was in 2020, 2021, we've had multiple new members come at the same time. And we've been able to handle all of them going through the new members class. That is a literal example of God saying, when you're able to handle the fish I send you, then I will send the fish to you. Why? Because the miracle doesn't matter if the net breaks. Remember, why were the fishermen out there? To make money, right? Jesus provides all these 153 fish, all these large fish. Ooh, that's a payday, right? What happens if the net breaks? Gone. I mean, Jesus still did the miracle. All praise and honor and glory to him, right? But ultimately, the miracle didn't do anything. It didn't benefit us. St. John, for it has been a miracle, just from where I'm sitting, how many guests have come in to St. John? We've had a whole lot of guests. A whole lot of guests. Every year. New people, every year. Why isn't our church filled up? Doesn't matter. If the net breaks, St. John, it doesn't matter. If a new person comes and we don't follow up with them, it doesn't matter. If people want to come to church and until this year, ain't nowhere to park. It doesn't matter. If people are looking to be discipled and we ain't got nothing for them. And then what ends up happening to the fish? They just go back into the ocean. I'm not preaching from theory, St. John. I'm preaching about what's happened here. And this is why it is so important for us to look at how God does it. Because St. John will grow by the miracles that the Lord is going to do. It is a miracle. God will work in people's hearts. We have no idea who's coming to join. We have no idea who's looking for a place like St. John. We have no idea. But we have to have the mindset that God is trying to bring in fish, a whole lot of fish, a miraculous catch of fish, because he's got a business that he's trying to run. That, again, somebody's hearing me for the first time, it's not financial. We are not trying to bring members in so that we can get some money from them so that we can run this thing. That's not the Father's business. That's our business. But the Father wants to save souls, and he chooses people like you and me to be about his business and to be on the front lines, so that when people come in and they're anxious and they're depressed and they're going through all these things, that we know how to minister to them. Because we know that Jesus has the power. We know that God can solve. We've been through not being able to pay bills. We've been through medical emergencies. We've been through family drama. We've been through heartbreak. And we know Jesus does it. We know what he's capable of. But if they never find out, what are we doing?
Right. It's all right.
And so we have to think commercially. And a commercial fisherman has strong enough nets. And also the right type of net, I'm not going to get into that, to catch fish. And God will bless that, and he will stretch that. If we have that mindset. Do y'all realize if you have the mindset of Jesus, you'll understand the miracles of Jesus. What do I mean? Jesus's miracles were generally public, especially him dying on the cross and being buried and on the third day rising from the grave. Right. Right. This was not something that happened on a corner. If ancient Israel were like today, Jesus would have been crucified on Crenshaw. Everybody go by Crenshaw. Everybody go on King Boulevard. Everybody knew he died. And even before that, Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles for people in public. And he was dead and he rose again and he rose again and it appeared to many people and it was fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. People saw that. This wasn't something that the disciples spun up. People could go to the tomb and see he wasn't even there no more. They saw it. It was very public. Why were they public? Because Jesus wanted to reach the world. Jesus wanted all kinds of fish. Yeah, all kinds of fish. Black fish. Latino fish. White fish. That's actually a fish now. I just had some. Asian fish. I mean, if I understand that correctly, Jesus wants all kinds of fish. So if we're trying to follow Christ and if we're trying to follow the mindset of him, my question is this: do we want this? If you're online, it got real quiet. Do we really want this? And I say this because if I ask you, how big do you want St. John to grow? Probably the number one answer I'm going to get is, as big as the Lord allows. Yeah, what's a number that the Lord would allow? Because some people are happy with St. John exactly like this. I don't know, I'm not pointing fingers, I don't know who everything, but some people are happy with how it is right now. Don't change it. Let it run. Just show up to preach, Pastor James. Preach a good word and keep us good. Some of us are good with St. John growing to a certain point. And let me be honest, reaching a certain demographic or reaching a certain age group or doing certain activities, then we're that's success. So that's my question. Do we want this? Do we want this? St. John, I'm going to end the sermon right now. If we want growth, then we need to get ready to handle growth. I told y'all new things are coming. Things are changing around here. If we want growth, we need to get ready to handle growth. Why? Because God doesn't like to waste fish.